God. Sup with the Sup Sup Playful Banter podcast listeners. A huge week in the world of Playful Banter. We have a very, very significant event that we're going to talk about. And in order to talk about all of the things that need to be discussed, we had to pull out the big guns. So in addition to the always present Kyle of Sammamish, we have brought on the one and the only Danielle Dinglebat Frack McGowan. Danielle, tell the people how you're living. Welcome to the pod.
Hello, thank you for having me. I am living in a constant state of elation and terrifiedness. That's not the right word.
I like that you skipped right past terror and went for terrifiedness.
Yeah, I would say that I'm giggling a lot. And my giggle is a response to uncontrollable circumstances. And so I'm living on the edge.
It's like a stress laugh and then some real laughing mixed in there.
Yes, yep. Exactly.
Yeah, you have always been one that's hard to pin down when you giggle, because you giggle for the polar opposites of things. Like, you don't usually giggle for anything in the middle. You're either something's really enjoyable and funny, or you're just like, it's all your body can do because everything else is burning to the ground.
Yeah, and I mean, nothing's really burning. It's just been a stressful time.
And tell the people why it's stressful.
Well, I am uniting myself legally to Kyle of Sammamish. I like the legality of it all. Oh, by the way, sorry to the podcast pals.
So romantic.
Sorry to the podcast pals. We got the wedding, the marriage license came.
Oh, that's an exciting piece of mail.
Yeah, so the mail. Yeah, Kyle and I are getting married.
We thought it was going to be late, so we thought the legality was in question. But the legality is in good shape now.
It's true. It will be legal, and it will be full of love and laughter and probably rain. But we won't talk about that.
Doesn't like just a little part of you think it would have been entertaining if your marriage was illegal just for a little bit? Like, you just had to bend a rule somewhere to get a good story out of it.
I lost zero sleep about the potential illegality of our marriage for a short period of time, but
I was not all that stressed about it. I wanted to see Alex do something illegal. I thought that would have been fun. But it sounds like he and Hatley are going to commit grand larceny. So
I was going to say, I think that would be a beautiful token, like show of display of love of, you know. I mean, larceny is a big deal in our group, and what greater thing to steal than a marriage certificate in order to marry your, like, two of your best friends? I mean, you just watch the whole thing play out in your head. It's like an episode of Parks and Rec. You just break into the, you know, county clerk's office or whatever and find the drawer with the licenses and you find a stamp. I mean, the whole thing would have been wonderful. I would have live streamed everything. Would have been great.
Yeah. It reeks of shenanigans, but no, we're getting married on Saturday, and we are super pumped to not be engaged anymore because it has been 3 years, and we're getting kind of sick of it.
I hate the word fiance. It's not a fun word. I don't like it. It sounds kind of pretentious, and so I'm excited to not even have to, like, I've been avoiding it for 3 years, and I don't even have to avoid it now. It's just there.
You just hate everything French and fancy. It's a fancy French word, and you just don't like either of those things.
Yeah, I think what's funny is that typically, you know, you'll only be engaged for a year. And so Kyle has actually called me his fiance, or could have called me his fiance, longer than I was his girlfriend.
That's what's kind of weird to me, is that it almost... I don't know. I haven't done the math on this, and I refuse to. But from the time when you guys met to, like, the time you guys got engaged is like
it was far, about 2 years.
It's about the
same. We met before we started dating.
Yeah, you guys probably met in what, like summer of 2014. Mm-hmm. And then when did you start dating?
2016.
Yeah, so you guys have been engaged longer than you guys knew each other from beginning to when you started dating, which seems backwards to me.
But also, even just like dating, like boyfriend and girlfriend, we've been engaged longer than that too.
Right. Yeah, you guys really, I mean, because you knew each other so well before you started dating, you didn't date a ton of time before you got engaged. And then you've just been engaged forever. So.
Yeah. I mean, we dated around the same amount of time that you did. I'm sorry, your muse.
Oh my God. You just revealed so much information.
I'll have to edit that out. Oh.
Yep.
Beep. Beep. Yeah. Just bleep it.
Yep. Well, I'm glad that we're talking about the wedding. I was referring to the fact that you'll get to hold the baby for the first time this week, and I think that that's a much more significant event in your life than marrying this dingleback too.
I am absolutely thrilled. Yeah. I am so excited to hold my little pal. I got him a new outfit just for the honor. He can't wear it yet. He's going to be too small, but...
I don't know. Give him a couple days. He grows real fast, so he might get in there. He might get in there. You never know. All right. You know who else was known for outfits? I don't know. Just trying to make a segue out of nothing. Danny, tell us who our woman of the week is.
Our woman of the week is... I apologize. I was trying to get out of my voice memo.
I can edit this too.
Lady Mary Wortley Montague. And Lady Mary defied convention by introducing smallpox inoculation into Western medicine. She learned this while she was visiting the Ottoman Empire and witnessed inoculation against smallpox. And then she brought it back to her son Edward in the year 1718. And on her return to London, she promoted the procedure despite resistance from the medical establishment. And now look at the medical establishment just pushing those vaccines on us. Mm-hmm. So that is our woman of the week. And we are honoring her because I am now double vaxxed.
I was going to say, as you sit here, you are wearing your Pfizer sticker proudly. Woo-hoo! For all to see.
Pfizer fam.
Yeah. I was wondering, what did inoculations look like in the 1700s? Like, what did they use, or what did that all entail? I'm assuming they did not use the classic syringe and the plunger method. What did they do? Just
no, I think you got a pretty, like, nasty scar from it, right? Like, you could tell when somebody had gotten an inoculation because there was, like, a circle on them, like a scar from getting your inoculation.
So and they kind of, like, they cut you open and insert some stuff into your bloodstream and then sew you back up or something?
I don't know.
I think it's probably just a more primitive syringe would be my thought.
Yeah. But you could tell, like, when people would get inoculated against smallpox, you could see their, like, scar.
I think everybody that gets the COVID vaccine should just get a tattoo, like, on their cheek or something. You know, like the teardrop, but different.
On their cheek?
Well, I don't know. It's got to be visible. I don't know.
Just, why does it have to be visible?
Well, I got to be able to know if you're vaccinated.
I see. So
it's like a sticker.
Gotcha. Like an I'm vaccinated mark.
Yeah. But like permanent.
I thought it was just a fun mark, since that you don't get a scar. I thought you were just trying to do a tattoo in lieu of that. But now you're going for function.
No, okay. I'm going for a function. And you get another one. You get another little dot every time you get the booster or whatever. So if we have to get it every year, then you just get to build it over time. I don't know. These are the things I think about.
It'll be like the stickers on football players' helmets.
Yeah! Collect them all.
What if you got like a coronavirus-shaped circle, and then every time you got a booster, you got one more little dot in to kind of look like the virus?
Yeah.
I'm sure I want something looking like the virus on my face. as a symbol that I don't have the virus.
That's true. Maybe we need to tattoo the faces of people that refuse to get the vaccine and don't have a good reason. I like that idea better.
Yeah. That involves me not getting a tattoo, so I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, Kyle, you're going to get a tattoo. I'm drawing it right now. It's going
to
be really good.
Oh, I would love to see this.
Yes, it'll be beautiful. It's going to be a whole mural. I'm going to need you to keep your back very well manicured.
The back is where it's going.
It's the biggest piece of real estate you got. So
yeah.
Oh, back and chest. I mean, it'll be kind of a wraparound effect. It'll be good. Mm. Don't sweat it. All right. Let's jump into what's trending. Before we get back to wedding talk, which I'm very excited about, this is special. This is a special time for all of us. We're all going to be, you know, in the waves of emotion this week. But sports comes first, as always. And what's trending this week, as of like yesterday, I think the news broke, but people are mucho pissed about the idea of the Europa Soccer League. Which, if you don't know, Kyle, explain the Europa Soccer League to people.
That's assuming that I do know.
And if you don't know, you have to make it up.
So essentially, a lot of the largest soccer clubs in Europe are angry that they play in leagues that include some bad teams that don't make as much money. And so they're like, you know what? If we just formed our own Super League, we could make a lot more money. So the top teams from all the different Europe leagues are trying to form their own Super League to the exclusion of all the wonderful smaller clubs like Southampton.
That's right. Southampton's getting screwed in this deal. That was my main takeaway as well, Kyle. Yeah, and that's got people very upset because it's totally a money decision. It's totally a money grab thing. It's the equivalent of, you know, college football. If the Alabamas and Clemson and Ohio State and USC and Oklahoma and Texas and all the big blue bloods just said, screw you, Big 12, Pac-12, all them, and just created one giant, like, uber valuable conference that would make all the money, get all the TV deals and all that. So, our thought, of course, because we're not going to talk about soccer the whole time, that would appeal to exactly one of our listeners, I think. But if we were, it gets the mind going of what are other, like, you know, if you could hand pick stuff, right? Because that's basically what this league is it's hand picking the exact clubs from all over Europe that you want in one league to compete. We then took it, and the credit goes to Danny on this. What would a Super League of baked goods be? Like, if you could just hand select the best of the best and put them all into one location. So it's like a bakery, but you're not limited to just the sweets, right? I mean, baked good is an intentionally broad term.
Yes.
So what do we think? What I loved your suggestion, why you made it broad, was pizza in particular came up, and that might be my first overall pick, to be honest, of baked goods. I love a pizza.
I am a huge pizza fan, and I would say that it's probably up there. I don't know if it's like my top good. And I would like to introduce something else into the pizza discussion. What about a calzone?
Of course, a calzone. Of course that counts.
I'm a big calzone fan.
We don't have enough calzones.
Would you pick a calzone over a pizza?
No.
Huh. I think Kyle might.
That's a real tough one.
Kyle's a functionality kind of guy. Kyle wants to eat on the go. He might be a calzone guy.
Yeah. But I think I would probably go pizza. But that's my head that's beating down my heart right now. And my heart's not happy about it.
He does love a good calzone. There are a few calzone places. I would like to say, on the sweets end, I'm a big fan of a coffee cake.
Interesting take early in the Super League.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of a crumbly coffee cake. Like, This is probably not the creme de la creme of coffee cakes, but the Starbucks cinnamon coffee cake. Delish.
Well, and I feel like coffee cake gets a bad rap because people automatically think it tastes like coffee because of the name.
It's like carrot cake. Two, I think they're both poorly branded cakes.
Right, because it's often served on the side of coffee, but it doesn't taste like coffee. But people stay away from it because it's got coffee in the title. The Muse makes a delightful peach coffee cake, which is very nice, like a peach cinnamon.
Oh, I can see that.
And it's very nice. It's very fresh.
Is it better or worse than the peach coffee cake that you can get from Winco?
I've never had the coffee cake from Winco, and if I had, I would not admit it on this podcast because I know one of our six listeners would eviscerate me from the earth if I ever fell into that trap again. It happens every time we go.
You almost did. You almost did.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I've learned. Absolutely not. But cinnamon rolls might be on my in my league.
Cinnamon rolls are definitely in my league.
Mm-hmm.
I would say cinnamon rolls are homemade cinnamon rolls. I love all cinnamon roll. I won't discriminate, but at like a homemade cinnamon roll, my mom makes the best.
I'm putting a good loaf of sourdough in my league.
Mm.
Good call.
Yes.
I will see your sourdough and I will raise you a loaf of jalapeno pepper jack from Sister's Bakery. That's where the stuff is. But like a nice artisan bread, Kyle, I'm with you. Also, croissants. We haven't talked croissants yet. I love a flaky croissant. You can make it a sandwich. You can eat it by itself.
I do love a croissant. I also like a good muffin.
Croissants are like the, this is a soccer analogy, it's like the fancy European team that does all the cool tricks but never actually wins.
Yeah.
That's what a croissant is.
Yeah, often overlooked a little. Yeah, comes in with some hype but doesn't always make the final cut. What are we missing? Like, you know that some people are listening to this and they're like, you haven't talked about the best thing, and that's blank. I don't know. Cupcakes?
I have one, but I don't think it's going to be what you're thinking.
Is it donut holes?
No. How do we feel about a baked mac and cheese?
Ooh, back to the savory window.
Wow. That's out of left field, and I like it.
Are you talking crumbly like a breadcrumb crust? Of course you are. You're a genius.
Yeah.
And a visionary. Yeah. I like a good loaded mac and cheese. I think that's where you're going with this.
Well, I've made a chorizo mac and cheese that Kyle did once say was the best mac and cheese he's ever had.
It was indeed. I stand by that.
And it was baked. I haven't been served this mac and cheese, and I think that should be fixed almost immediately.
I'll have to make it for you guys with the actual chorizo so that you can get the full experience because I did make it for Natalie and Jeremy with the meatless ground, and it was good, but I think you have to have it with the chorizo for the first time.
I will not fight against this. I'm trying to think of other savory things that we could count as baked. I mean, I like any kind of dough that's got cheese and meat and some veggies on the inside and like nice soft warm dough, like a pizza roll. But that's basically a smaller calzone.
Yeah, I was gonna say
pizza roll.
Shrinking down the pizza,
but like, and rolling it or you think the chicken bakes from Costco, if you've ever seen or had those, like those are nice baked goods. Yeah, but like, you know, they do ham and cheese stuff like that or whatever.
Danny's mom makes a phenomenal dinner roll that I think should not be overlooked.
It's a
nice like butterflake roll.
It is so delicious. When she doesn't make them on holidays, I get upset.
Well, Tracy, I live closer to you than either of these dinglebats. So if you really want to defend this, pop some over or just tell me and I'll come over. I'll come get them. I have no problem driving for this kind of cause. Any other baked goods, savory or sweet, that we are missing. I'm not big. I'm actually not as hot on a lot of the sweets. Like, they're good, but it's like pie, nah. Cake, nah.
The black and tan brownie from McMiniman's is on my Super League.
Okay. It's probably not in mine.
Got some caramel on there. Got some ice cream.
See, but you can't take the ice cream. You can't take the ice cream into the Super League. It's only the baked good. You can't have accoutrement.
I think you can.
That's the rules of the Super League.
Well, then I'm going to go make my own Super League with better things.
But that's like saying that you can't have the teams in the Super League without the stars on it. Like, the whole reason that the Super League is a thing is because everybody on the team and all the stars on the team make it what it is. So the black and tan brownie with the ice cream and the caramel makes it the team. You know what I mean?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. I see that one.
Those teams wouldn't be good or wouldn't be in the Super League without the players.
Well, and honestly, that might happen. Because they've said... FIFA has basically said, if you guys go play in this Super League, you as individual players can't play in the World Cup or in any of the other competitions. They're like punishing them. So it's like, you can play, you can make a Super League, but you're not going to get to play in any of the big international competitions.
Other than, like, yes, of course, it's a money grab. What is the draw of, like, just playing against everyone else that's good? Maybe I don't have a good mind for sports, but I kind of like a little blowout every once in a while. I want to have a rest game.
Man, blowout means a totally different thing in my world now, I'm finding. It's a triggering word. But I think it's because the popularity of the Champions League, where it's like, you know, every year they take the top like six teams from every league and enter a tournament. And that becomes, honestly, aside from the World Cup, the European Champions League is like the biggest tournament. And that's what pulls in so much money, so much revenue. And the games are always really competitive and interesting. And I think that they just have that in their mind of, well, imagine if we just did this every single, like, you don't have a week where you have a letdown. You don't have a game that you're not really, like, your fans aren't pumped to go to. It's like, no matter what game people pay to see, they're going to see a top 10 team in the entire world come to your stadium or whatever.
Not to bring it back to the money thing, but I did read that the winner of the Champions League gets like $100 million, and each team would get $400 million per week just for being in this thing.
So just to win. Yeah. Because that would be all from the TV revenue and stuff would just be bonkers. And all the other leagues would absolutely tank from this. I mean, if you take the best teams out of those leagues, there's nobody else really to watch. I mean,
then Southampton's got a chance in the Premier League.
That's true. That's your move. But also, yeah.
But then the Premier League's not Premier anymore.
I think that these teams could use a good talking to from Ted Lasso, but that's just me.
Agreed. I agree. There should be a Ted Lasso, like a real life. There has to be a real life Ted Lasso somewhere, somehow. We have to find him. Like, just
that'll be our next task.
Yeah. Kyle, you're on that. Put that on your to-do list. You're
not busy. Send me to Wichita, Kansas.
Yep. Start your investigation from the source. Absolutely. All right. Moving on. Now that we're all hungry, let's talk Bachelor. A little Bachelor news was made this week. And Danny, you have thoughts. You have thoughts and information. And Kyle and I are just going to sit back and watch the magic happen.
Well, are you guys going to chime in at any point? Because I need to hear from straights more often.
Well, as straight white men, we probably do have a voice in this conversation that needs to be heard. Because that's our opinion of any conversation that's ever happened. So, likely, yes, we will be contributing.
Okay, so the big reveal this week. I can't believe it happened this week. I guess it was last week. The big reveal in the past week is that Colton, who was the Bachelor one Bachelor ago?
At least two.
I can't.
You're asking us? Or you're asking me? I don't know, Kyle, if you follow it.
I'm asking my memory.
Wasn't like Ari before Matt? Or am I wrong?
I don't know. He was a while back. We'll just say that. He's gay. He came out on Good Morning America. Came out publicly, I would say. He's probably spoken to some family and friends on Good Morning America. And a lot of people were excited because he has been kind of having a rough year. And it was cool to see somebody with such a high profile who, you know, he talked about growing up, it wasn't okay, or he didn't feel like it was okay because he grew up in the church, and he was afraid that, like, you know, he was gonna get smoked or whatever you call it, because he was gay. And so he said when he got the Bachelor gig, he thanked God for making him straight. He was like, this is my chance, I'm gonna, you know, I can turn things around here. And he did pick a winner, Cassie, and they were together for a really long time. And in the interview, Robin Roberts asked Colton if he loved Cassie, and he was like, yes, and that's what makes it so hard for everything that's, you know, happening now. And he thanked The Bachelor essentially for not, I don't want to say forcing him, because no one forced him to do this, but for helping him to make this decision. He had a very, very rough past year. The thing about Colton, and that we have to remember, even when he has done something so great for the LGBTQ community, because, like, this is so good for visibility, is that when he and Cassie broke up, he went a little bit cuckoo bananas, and he stalked her.
No.
And created this, like, terrible environment for her. She filed a restraining order against him. And in the restraining order, it said that he put a tracker on her car.
Oh, my.
And was, like, following her around and, like, made up fake phone numbers to text her friends and family. Yeah. So the big controversy with Colton coming out was that he kind of, I don't want to call it a redemption arc, but all the stuff about Cassie had come out, and she had kind of decided to, I think they decided a while ago to drop the restraining order, because he was like, okay, I'm going to work on myself. Is that a lot of people were frustrated that it was being glossed over, that he was, like, essentially stalking Cassie after they broke up. Mm. And so that's the hot goss on that. I think you can be supportive of Colton and excited for him to live his truth while still being like, dude.
That's the thing, is nobody's perfect. And so the flaws deserve to be criticized, but being gay is not a flaw. And so I'm glad that it seems from what you said that it's well received, the news, because I think a few years ago that would not have been the case. And I'm sure there's still places where it's not the case now. But I'm glad that at least in the majority, it's accepted.
Yeah, I think people were just worried that, like, what he did to Cassie would kind of be forgotten. And one big question that I had afterwards was, like, did he talk to Cassie before he came out? Like, and rumor on the street is that he didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you have a restraining order, it may be tough.
Well, there's no restraining order. It was dropped.
Ah.
But still, like, I would think...
Still an awkward, like, conversation to have.
Look, Kyle, if in, like, 10 years I was like, I guess I like ladies, and we were not on good terms, I would at least come to you and be like, I'm gonna do this on TV. I don't know why anybody would be asking me to, like, come out on television. But I just think, like, if any possible way that, you know, maybe to a friend of Cassie's or somebody to, like, give her a heads up. Like, she's been through hell this past year, and now she gets, like, this.
Yeah. Probably would have been a nice call to make. Nice text to send out.
Yeah. I feel for her, because she kind of, loses twice here. Well, really, more than that. But, you know, one, she falls in love with this guy who... that one isn't the love of her life that she thought she was getting. Two, the, you know, ends up being, like, stalked in all of this super creepy behavior. And three, you know, has him go on national television to basically talk about their relationship and, you know, his being gay. I totally agree with you guys that I think it's a wonderful, brave thing that he did to come out. To do that, period, is insanely courageous. And then to do it on national TV is even well beyond that.
100%.
Super, like, yeah, I am not about to just write this guy off as a good dude. Like, that is not okay. Like, I don't care what you're, like, I know he's probably battling a lot of inner demons and was dealing with a lot of confusion. There's nothing that excuses that kind of behavior. And so I'm not going to hold you up as 100% cool dude, but I'm a little torn on this figure. In case anybody was
wondering, Robbie and Kyle did not know about any of this backstory. So I kind of broke the news to them here 1 week after it all happened.
Yes, I did not. I did not open any of the articles.
One silly thing to just kind of like turn it back into a fun
into playful moment, banter.
Into playful banter. Is that on his season, Colton had like a meeting with Billy Eichner. And in the clip of them that's like circulating on Twitter, you can look it up. Billy Eichner says to Colton, "We may have the first gay bachelor and not even know it." And Colton's face was one, so awkward, because obviously he'd been grappling with these issues. But two, then he just, like, started laughing. And a lot of people on the internet were like, wow, Colton had more chemistry with Billy Eichner than he did with any of the women on his season. Which, if you watch Colton's season, I'm sorry. It's true.
because of the lack of chemistry with the women, or just because Billy Eichner is... I think I would have chemistry with Billy Eichner. Like, I love that dude. I think
he just didn't... Colton just did not have a lot of chemistry with the women, and I think even looking back, like, afterwards on some things that the other women that were in his season said, like, they didn't really connect with him or anything like that. And, you know, I don't know why. That's like, up to them or whatever. But, yeah, it's interesting. The clip is funny. You should go watch it, just where we're at now. Colton is very happy. He said that he's happy. He said he feels very whole. He said that this has, like, helped him become closer with God. And it's very clear to him that, like, it's very clear that his faith is very important to him. So I think the best and most exciting thing about this is that at least Colton has, like, found some peace in who he is and is excited to move ahead.
Is he in a relationship?
He said he's never had an emotional connection with a man, but I could only imagine that, like, if you had been telling yourself you were, you know, going to go to hell for being gay, then you would never let yourself get to that point. So I'm excited to see where everything goes for him.
What I want to know, and I'm very torn even as I think about this in my own head, can The Bachelor ever do a gay or LGBTQ season? Like, can they have a man seeking a man for a season of The Bachelor, or a woman seeking a woman, or trans? Like,
I think, you know, that would be great.
I think it'd be great, but I also, part of me, the empathetic part of me is like, whoever's on that show is going to be tormented like no other on social media. Like, it's a huge jump for society. It's one that needs to happen, but those people will be subjected to like crazy obscene amounts of bullying.
And I do think large swaths of the Bachelor demographic is probably less tolerant than we are.
Yeah. But also, it could be a good thing to just, I mean, you got to rip the Band-Aid off and start normalizing being gay at some point.
Yeah, I think that was a big question this season with Matt, and whether or not it was going to be difficult for Matt being the first Black Bachelor. And, you know, regardless of like Matt's shortcomings as a person, he had a lot of like undue pressure on him to be the first Black Bachelor. And I think one thing that he always talked about was like having to be everything for everyone. And so he had to be the first Black Bachelor for Black people, and he had to be the first Black Bachelor for white people, and he had to be the first Black Bachelor for everything. And I think whoever is the first gay or lesbian or bi or trans bachelor or bachelorette, like, that's going to be, oof, you going to need some mental health counseling on scene and afterwards. And I think the biggest thing about The Bachelor, and we don't need to get into this now, you can even cut this part out, is just that that whole franchise needs a reboot, a reckoning with themselves, and a lot of change.
Yeah.
And well, that is...
Yeah. Maybe this is the time to do it. I mean, you know, I also think part of me thinks, man, if you had a, like, say a gay season for, like, you know, a man seeking a man, you could really illustrate how there isn't really one, you know, stereotypical, like, what a gay man is. Like, you could have, you know, more feminine gay men on the show. You could have, like, gay men look like everything, you know, the whole, there's a whole spectrum of what they look like, what they talk like, sound like, what their interests are. It's not just this cardboard cutout of what a lot of this country, I think, assumes gay culture is. And it would be cool if, like, you know, there was a gay man seeking a man, and you just had a whole, like, just any other, like any other season where you've got athletic people and you've got intellectual people and you've got just stupid hot people, like, you know, but normalize, like, hey, look, not all gay men talk like this, or not all gay men are super into fashion. Like, you know, I think that that would be kind of cool and educational for a lot of people. But like I said, the other side of that is, it's just going to be, you'd have to be pretty courageous to go on that show. And I think that there are, you know, just with how brave you kind of have to be, unfortunately, to be outwardly gay in American society anyway, they just, you have to have a thick skin. And I'm sure that there would be a lot of them that would take that on and be like, yeah, I don't care what people say. I'm going to go on the show and I'm going to try and find love. I think that would be dope. I would absolutely watch. That would be my first real season of The Bachelor I would watch. Beginning to end. You have my word, ABC. You may lose millions of other people, but you will get me. And that counts for something. Now.
And then we could talk about it on the podcast and you would get all 10 of us.
That's right. I come with a team. We can all fit in a big van, but we're coming. Now, The Bachelor usually ends in a wedding. Let's transition really quickly before we take a break. I want to talk about your guys' wedding. And Kyle, I don't care about your views anymore. We've talked about your views on the wedding. Danny, how are you feeling about the wedding? Specifically, are you worried of how much I get to talk?
No, I'm not worried at all, because I was kind of the driving force between you being the person who gets to talk. So I'm not worried at all.
Thank you.
Kyle is absolutely terrified, but...
I'm not terrified. I'm not happy. I'm not even worried about anything you're going to say. I don't like the principle of it.
That's so sweet of you to say. Yeah. What's the principle you're worried about? You're a non-traditional guy. You like creative solutions. You found a creative solution. I think this is a very Kyle situation you've created.
I don't think he wants to give you more credit than you deserve for
anything.
That's
exactly it. That's all for creative solutions. I just don't like the proportion of Robbie in this wedding, I think, is a little bit skewed.
That's fair. This is more Robbie than any wedding I've ever seen.
It's more Robbie than Robbie's wedding.
That's actually true. Yeah.
True.
I mean, yeah.
Wow, we had one role in your wedding. You got two in ours.
I think it's fair, and I think it's reciprocal that I officiated Robbie and the Muse's wedding, and that Robbie officiates
the Dinglebat wedding. I still think the Muse should have done it, but she never would have.
I still have to work the word Dinglebat into this ceremony now. I have to do a whole rewrite. Like, and I must say,
perspicacious.
I wrote that word down, and I can't figure out how to put it in. Because it's so ironic, because it's a word that means understanding, and no one understands it. And there's no, like, smooth way to throw that in without people being like,
what?
I also have zero. It struck me yesterday while I was running through what I currently have written. I have zero Office references in there. And, Danny, you started our wedding with an Office reference, which was awesome. That was beautifully done.
Yeah, I mean, two gold medals, baby.
I know, it was perfect, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. Other than that's what she said.
Okay, the question is, though, is there any reference to the poet and scholar Taylor Swift?
Not in the ceremony.
Oh, goody. Can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, as we were doing all of our music, there's a lot of references to Taylor Swift.
There is a lot of Taylor Swift.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll drop a line in or something in the best man portion of the evening, but it's weird writing both parts, because you almost want to like parse out, because that you want a little bit of humor and heart in both of them, but you think more heart needs to be in the ceremony portion and more jokes need to be in the best man portion. And so you kind of have all the ideas in your head and you're like picking and placing things in different, like,
it is a tough situation that you're in.
Because, you know, my first draft, which was obviously quite long, of the ceremony, just had like a bunch of stories of like me with you two. And then I kind of caught myself. I'm like, that's not really the point. The point's them with each other, not how I factor in to the relationship.
Yeah, but that's the most Robbie way to start a draft.
I'm very impressed that you caught that, because I was pretty sure it was just going to be that.
Yeah. Here's why I'm here. Alex, get up here and marry them.
We are marrying these two together, and it is all because of me, and let me tell you why.
Yes. You may call me the architect. I should have a name badge.
Not call you that.
You will not call me that. Okay.
But I am excited, and I think that you're going to do a good job. And mostly, like, I'm not worried about anything of the day, really. I'm, like, more worried about, like, the outside aspects of the day. I'm very worried about the rain. Incredibly worried about the rain. I've been looking at long-range forecast models for the past, like, 7 days, and Kyle probably wants to throw me out the window.
Just the forecast models.
I'm worried about the rain. I'm worried about my eyelashes. We won't go into that.
Me too.
Other than that, like, everything else I think is, like, going to be fine. I've come to terms with the fact that we're having a COVID wedding and that people, like, couldn't keep their nose sticks and their masks, you know, long enough to figure out how to get themselves under control. So, like, you know, you can delete all of this, Kyle, but, like, a year ago we decided to postpone because we thought, oh, it's fine, you know, 2 weeks to stop the spread, haha.
People thought we were being way too conservative when we...
Too conservative.
I did too. I was like, why don't you just get married in the fall or the summer? Like, it'll be fine then.
Which, the fall was the worst part.
I know. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
So here we are again, 1 year later, and people are still fighting over their masks and they're still fighting over their restrictions. Like, thank goodness for vaccinations and vaccines. A lot of the people at our wedding will be fully vaccinated or have at least one dose, which is great. I'm so thankful for our friends and family for believing in science. But it's like, we've just had to grapple with the fact that it's not the wedding that I planned, at least. Kyle, as he said in a podcast many, 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 many moons ago, that I listened to with eager, eager ears, said that this day is for me and not for him. At that time, he didn't know that I would be his bride. But I think, you know, we'll just say that he said it with a forethought of me. You know. So I'm just kind of getting over the fact that it's not going to be this big thing, but still going to be fun because we're going to have all of our best friends there. And a lot of Kyle's family is going to be there, and they know how to have a good time. Pops is going to be there partying.
Oh, yeah. So the guy can groove, I hear. That's the word on the street. The man can get down.
I hope he brings his little remote control wheelchair out on the dance floor and does like a donut.
Yes, do a donut by the donut wall, which I'm I'm quite enamored by the donut wall. I think that'll be great. I think this whole thing's going to be a blast. I think that not everybody's there, but the people you really need to have like a really good time, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be awesome. Like there's the squad's there, the baby's there, there's a donut wall. You know, I'm talking a lot. The recipe is there for success. And for a blast. And if all of you could see Kyle's face, Kyle is getting more nervous about this by the minute. And I think we should just tack onto that. Danny, I asked this question of Kyle last week and got pretty boring answers. One, is there any word or phrase you need to hear get dropped into the ceremony or the best man speech? This is like your one opportunity, whatever you say, as long as it's not what Kyle said. Because I tried, I can't do it. It sounds dumb. It would just throw people off. But this is your chance. Anything.
Pop, pop?
Pop, yes. Yeah. See, Kyle, that's what I was looking for a week ago. Pop, pop. Let me write it down.
You are aware that my goal on this podcast is to never give you what you're looking for.
Yeah, and to make your life harder.
Pop, pop. All right. And then what are three adjectives? Let's just play Mad Libs. What are three adjectives that you want associated with this party, with this day? And then I'm going to tell you how I'm going to accomplish it.
Don't say three. Boring or traditional. I did that last week and he didn't like
it. Yeah. And he was terrible.
You said you wanted to have a boring wedding.
Boring, he's just, traditional.
Yeah. He was literally just doing it to piss me off and he succeeded. Just bad podcasting.
It kind of makes me mad.
Yeah. I thought you should
then I know that's
a can.
I know that's not how he really feels. Yeah. I know that's not how he really feels. Rager.
Good start.
Festive.
Oh, God. That's one word Kyle said.
We're meant to be. I would like it to be a festive, heartfelt rager.
Heartfelt rager. All right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's the most Danielle... every party, every birthday, I feel like those are the three words that you shoot for. So why wouldn't this be? You want it to be a rager. You want the people you love there. And you want it to be a freaking party. You want it to feel like an event. Now, here's a question for both of you, but really, Danny, how drunk, like, what is, like, can Kyle have a little to drink before this thing? Kyle, do you want to have a little? Like, I feel strongly that it really helps the day if you have, like...
I'm going to have White Claw.
Yeah, like, have one drink before you go down the aisle to, like, loosen... I'm not saying get you drunk. We don't need a Weekend at Bernie's thing either. Like, we're not going to... It's not the hangover, but... I feel like you could have a drink or two, like with lunch or something, before you go down there, or you take one shot and you head down the aisle. Kyle, what do you want? What do you think would really get you in the right spot where you're loose and comfortable, but also not like slurring necessarily? And I don't mean like racials. I mean like like words. If you get to racial slurs, this thing's gonna go off the rails real quick.
If you get to racial slurs, we need to have a conversation.
Yeah, yep. And the wedding is happening.
I'm gonna know where the off switch is on your mic pack, and we'll edit that sucker out. Kyle, what do you want to? What's your drink? What do you want to drink before you head down the aisle? We know Danny's having claws, because there's no laws when you have the claws.
I don't think that what I drink is all that important in this situation, to be honest with you. And I don't want to drink enough for it to have any effect on me. And so I'm not going to drink a whole lot of whatever we're drinking.
Get him like a light IPA that he can have like one that he sips on.
See, that's where I think, because that'll just fill him up a little. I think you got to have like a nice signature mixed drink or something where... It does make you feel a little warm inside. Not psychologically really affecting you other than calming you down a little, but you gotta feel a little warmth. I firmly believe, like, have beer earlier in the day, have beer at dinner. I think you gotta do one mixed drink or shot before you go down the aisle that's going to make you feel nice?
I don't think Kyle... Okay, one, you didn't have a shot before you went down the aisle.
And that was Kyle's job. And Kyle didn't get me one, so I will not neglect my duty as best man.
Do you feel as if you missed out? Do you feel like you should have had a shot pre-ceremony?
Absolutely, I do. And I feel like this falls under the square jurisdiction of the co-officiant, co-best man, as half the representative of God and half the representative of the party part of this evening. I put those together, and it has to equal giving you a beverage that will really get you in the mood for the festivities.
I'm just like trying to think of like what alcohol Kyle actually drinks anymore, and it's like
you want like a whiskey Coke.
Drink alcohol.
You want like a
nice Gatorade. Make sure I'm well hydrated.
Just put a shot of vodka in the Gatorade.
You're the worst. You want a Moscow Mule? Do you want
get him a margarita?
A Mai Tai, yeah, a Mai Tai, or a Greyhound. I know that's what Danny
just
used to
get
drink.
Give him some White Claw too.
I don't know. See, he's not even excited about that. Do you not think, Kyle, that you should have a drink before this? I think you're gonna feel a little fluttery. I think it's natural to feel a little fluttery.
You don't like public speaking.
You're going to be the center of attention, which is exactly where you do not want to be.
I hate being the center of attention. I'm going to be very nervous throughout this whole situation. I'm not looking forward to that part of it.
Wait. Kyle, do you always feel like you have to pee before something when you're nervous, even when you don't have to pee?
I do feel like I have to pee, but then I do pee.
Oh, okay, sorry, continue on.
So you're gonna wear a diaper up there?
No, I just go to the restroom.
Then you're gonna have to pee when you're up there. So what's like the signal?
As long as I do a pre-pee.
What can I say that's gonna like focus you and ground you? Be like, it's all gonna be okay, buddy. But we need to have like a code word. Like as Danny walks down the aisle, you know, and you're like, oh God. Because she's gonna be looking good. We all know this. So it's like...
Hopefully he's paying attention to me and he doesn't have to give you a code word.
Well, but if
he starts to shake and stuff, like, you know, you're going to do great. You're going to do wonderful.
There's a distinct possibility that I shake, but what are you going to do?
I mean, my voice shook when I said my vows.
Yes. I'm going to be very shaky.
Part of it was because it was pretty cold, but part of it's like, it's just you're saying very private things in front of a lot of people.
It's emotional and nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah. Do you want me to like give you the athlete butt slap or something to like bring you back down? You're like, okay, this isn't actually that big of a deal. Robbie's still there slapping my butt. Like I'm looking for that. Like I want to be a support in that moment.
I think you just let me live.
I can't tell if Robbie's like saying that you didn't do enough to support him in his moment or if he just wants to be more involved.
I think of that as part of this.
Not even really. The drink thing, yeah. But not even really because we have it flip-flopped where I'm okay being the center of attention and my wedding was tiny as hell. So I didn't even have to talk in front of that many people. Kyle hates being the center of attention and he's talking in front of more people. So it's like... What can I do? Like, honestly, Danny, when you started your speech with an office quote, that got me off to, like, an enjoyable start. Like, that kind of calmed me down in a way. So I'm just wondering and I'm not worried about you, Danny. Like, you're going to rock this whole thing. You're going to be looking good. You're going to have your whole speech and vows and all. You're going to be great.
Oh, yeah. But Kyle... I love to be the center of attention.
Well, I know, but Kyle really hates it. So...
Perspicacious in your talk, then we'll be in good shape.
Okay, I'm just, as Danny walks down the aisle, I'm going to say, Kyle, are you perspicacious about just how hot that chick is?
You should.
Yeah, and that'll work, I think.
I think Kyle's going to be great. I think he's going to do fine. I think he's more nervous now than he will be, because once it starts happening, it's just going to happen. And
no, I'm going to be very nervous during as well.
You are going to be very nervous.
I'm just going to live with it. That's just how I live my life.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, you're just going to power through. And, like, the thing about Kyle is, like, you can, like, help him prepare and you can help him do shit, but beep, sorry. But you can't really walk him through it. Like, he's got to just walk through the fire.
Yeah.
Right. And so since you just said that, Kyle, let me walk you through it. Oh, go ahead.
If you could actually do, like, a coal walk.
Yeah. Like, if you could set up. That's what I'm talking about.
If you could set up a coal walk down the aisle so that the bottom of my dress just burns. That's
up my alley.
That's like a Hunger Game, like, you know, the dress in the Hunger Games. That Here's was what you dope. Do. You do, I you like do a
coal
this.
Walk down the aisle, and then we sit in an ice bath while we're up on the.
See, Robbie.
In front of everybody.
This is why I pose these questions in this forum. This is where the good ideas come from. I love it. I love it very much.
I would love to be sitting in an ice bath. Danny would hate it.
I'll be outside, and you be in it. It'll be like. Remember in Tayshia's season of The Bachelorette when mm-hmm. she and Ivan were, like, kissing in the ice bath? Like, yeah. But I won't be in the bath.
But see, the whole point of that was that they're sharing this experience together.
Yeah, I will share the experience share of you me being in the ice bath while being outside of it.
That's not how that
She'll
works.
Be in the vicinity. She'll be in the vicinity. Yeah.
I'll be ice bath adjacent.
Yeah, exactly. All right, before we move on, one word each to describe your vows. Well, tease it for us. One word to describe your vows. Kyle, you go first. Too much dead air. Danny, you go first.
Well, I still have a lot that I need to finish.
Me too. How long are your vows?
Oh, there you go. See, this is what you got to know.
Actually, see, that is helpful. I was wondering that about you. Okay, one, how long? Two, am I going to get raked over the coals for, like, not being emotional enough? Three. I mean, because I can get there. I can get there.
But can you get back?
Yeah, I can get back. The thing is that, like, and Kyle can attest to this, like, even with gifts, I like to know where Kyle's going to be, like, on the stratosphere of gifts so that I don't go overboard.
Yep.
I would say mine will be, like, I don't know, like a minute 30 to 2 minutes. I think that's a pretty normal amount, right?
Yeah.
How many words is a minute 30?
I don't know. How many words do you want to do?
It's a couple paragraphs.
Yeah, I would say I probably have, like, 3 to 4 paragraphs tops.
Okay.
Is that how many you have?
Yeah.
Around okay.
Vudabah.
Around there.
Well, he's not done.
Well, it's in some bullet points.
Kyle, literally don't stress about it. You and I are going to be probably writing them for the next 3 days. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I know. I'm not stressed. I'm stressed, but I'm not stressed about where I am at right now. Actually,
we know.
I feel
know.
Pretty good about where I'm at right now.
Do you guys need help?
No.
No.
What a good answer. Okay, at the same time, unison, shutting me down. That's what makes you guys a great couple. All right, we're going to take a break. That's enough of the wedding talk for now. When we come back, we're going to have a couple games, and then we will continue with our wedding week. And we're back to the podcast with Kyle of Sammamish and Danielle Dinglebat Frack McGowan. Podcast continue. Thanks, Transition Puffin. It's always good to have you here. Kyle, you wanted to throw us a couple of curveballs in the form of overrated, underrated. You take it over from here, Slick.
I'm not sure they're curveballs, but this is the overrated, underrated game where I have 7 topics that I pose to Robbie and guests, and they have to tell me whether they think it is overrated or underrated.
Okay.
We will start with bees.
Underrated.
I would probably go underrated as well, because I don't know exactly what their benefit is, but I hear it's substantial. And
it's a lot.
And honey is good. So, you know. And really, I think that the negative impact of bees is vastly overrated. So, because, like, hey, don't bug them or be too scared of them or whatever, and you're going to be fine. You're not going to, they're not killers. Well,
agree.
Killer bees are. But
Danny, have you ever been stung?
Me? Yeah. Like, 3 times. The worst was one time I stepped on a bumblebee in the grass.
That happens to a lot of people. Yeah. Yep, mm-hmm. I've done that stinger, as well. Stinger in the foot. Yeah. But for the most part, I think that the sting is not anything compared to their positives, and not a lot of people realize that. So I'm with Danny. I'm underrated.
Not the same, but have you ever been bitten by a wasp?
Yes, and it's infuriating because you didn't even kill the sucker.
Yeah, it, way worse.
It gets stung and it keeps flying.
They just get to live to see it, to bite someone else.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're moving on to candles.
Overrated. I like the idea. I don't think that they smell strong enough most of the time to have the impact of, like, when you stick your schnoz in them in the store, you're like, wow, this will make the whole room smell like this. And then half the time when the muse lights a candle, I don't even recognize that it's lit. Like, it doesn't fill the room or anything, which I guess is a pro and con in itself, but I don't know. I like the idea of candles, and I think the execution doesn't live up to what's in my brain.
I want all of our listeners, next time they purchase a candle, to just think of Robbie's nose stuck in there.
Not before COVID. BC. Before COVID. My nose was, but yeah, no. Like Target, Bath and Body Works, whatever. My nose was all up in those candles.
So, are you allowed to choose neutral?
No.
Okay. If you want to get booed.
So, sometimes I enjoy a good booing. So, I would say probably overrated, because I do believe sometimes that candles give me the sense that I should be, like, feeling better, but, like, I'll light one and I don't feel better, but the candle is, like, looking at me like, you should feel better, and I'm like, why?
The candle gives you hope.
I get
but,
that.
But not
the candle
actual...
It does give you hope, but not, and then not, sometimes not what you're need. Like, what's the point? But pro tip, if you want to get a better scent of the candle without shoving your nose in it, take the lid off and smell the lid.
And just carry that around with you?
That was from, yes, that is a tip from a friend of the podcast, Andrea.
Mm. I bet she would not say overrated for candles. Moving on to gingerbread men.
Overrated. That was quick.
I have to agree.
I just don't like the taste of gingerbread men. I like the idea of decorating them, but when you come to eating them, one, after you decorate them, they're not always easy to eat, and they just don't taste good.
Yeah. Sometimes they don't have a good snap.
Yeah.
As I wrote this topic down, I was thinking, why are gingerbread men popular? And I think it's because they're men, and it's like, it's a thing. Not like a patriarchy.
Men are
thing,
always like, popular. Yeah.
But like, it's not just a gingerbread cookie, it's a gingerbread man.
Yeah, it's
why did gingerbread get this? Why don't we have, like, chocolate chip men?
Because they're sturdy enough, usually, to decorate upon.
Because true gingerbread is more like a biscuit, crackery type thing that's supposed to be for, like, decoration. It's like a cracker, not a cookie. So you could have a gingerbread, you could have a chocolate chip man cookie, but gingerbread men are more for, like, decor.
Yeah.
They're not invented with the thought of this is going to be delicious.
And what's the point of edible decor if it doesn't taste delicious?
That's my question.
Mm.
Just a waste.
Boom.
Beanie Babies.
Oh.
Overrated.
Ooh. For what the prices of these things go for, I would have to agree. I mean, hey, don't get me wrong. I love a good collector's item, but yeah.
But are they really?
I think that they are. They make so many of them. They're like, you know, they're like Pokemon, kind of.
I don't know. Everyone told me that if I had every Beanie Baby, I would be a millionaire by now. And am I a millionaire? No, I am not.
Do you sell them? Well, how are you going to be a millionaire if you... don't sell your Beanie Babies. You got to make the money. It's like your body is fighting against you.
No, because when I was old enough to think about selling them, everybody was like, the market's flooded. There's too many. And I'm sorry. I am not a minimalist like Kyle, but there are some things I will just not hold on to, and Beanie Babies is one of them.
I mean, I wouldn't hang on to them either, but...
And that's the tea. Sips hot.
Mm. Move Whoa. On, Kyle. Done. Mic drop.
Billie Eilish.
This is where I start to sound old. Like, I used to always get mad at my parents and the older generation for saying music is crap, you know, because that's how it works. Your music is always good, and then it transitions away from it, and you just don't get it because it's so different. She's, like, created this whole genre of her own, and people go crazy for it. It depends on the song, for me. I think that she's got talent. It's just, if I was to take her lead, like, oh, you know, I would call her overrated for my personal taste, but I can see the appeal.
I am going to go into a deep mode and say that a lot, Billie Eilish is very talented, and I like the role model that she is for young women. I think a lot of her musical prowess has to do with her brother, Phineas, her producer. So I think if you took Phineas away from Billie Eilish, I'm not sure that she would be as interesting to me as she is. So I am going to say overrated, but I know that people would tell me that Taylor Swift is overrated. So I have to say overrated with Robbie's caveat as well.
I backdoored my way into Billie Eilish via Phineas. So I started liking Phineas's music first.
Robbie's face. I'm sorry. I can't get over the fact that you just said you backdoored your way into Billie Eilish. Are we just gonna let that stand without addressing that?
I tried not to draw attention to it.
No, I'm not letting that slide. I'm sorry.
And so I started liking his music first, and then I watched the documentary, her Billie Eilish documentary on Apple TV, and then I've been on a Billie Eilish kick recently.
So do you think she's overrated or underrated?
I think she's underrated.
Ooh.
Why?
How can she be, though? Like, she's so... She's, like,
she's the biggest pop star.
Yeah.
She is, but I think she is very big in the people that consume pop music, which is generally younger and generally female. And I think outside of that, I don't think she gets the credit that she deserves.
I like the messaging of a lot of her music. I like the positive body stuff that she talks about. And I like the movement of baggier clothes to avoid sexualization. Like, I like a lot of what Billie Eilish does. It just, when it comes from a pure, like, do I enjoy the music that comes over the airways, it's a little hit or miss for me. And the fact that she is seen so highly.
It's catchy as hell.
I know. Wish You Were Gay is a real bop.
Well, I will listen to it after this podcast while you go to New Seasons and get me a slice of cheesecake.
That's a wedding week order, and you better fulfill. I actually stopped at the Cheesecake Factory before this. Well, I picked up my suit. So, yeah.
Did you get cheesecake? Anyway,
yeah. The muse needed Oreo Dream, and she gets it because she's at home with the baby.
All right, last topic, Netflix.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
My answer is going to be biased by the fact that I am very disenchanted with television right now. And I also think that Netflix hasn't really released anything lately that I'm like, except for The Circle, season 2. Mm-hmm. Netflix hasn't really released anything of late that I'm like, I have to watch this.
Bridgerton?
No, I have not watched a single episode of Bridgerton.
No. Neither have I, but I thought that you might.
The last thing I watched that I really like loved was WandaVision. Yeah. Obsessed with WandaVision.
I need to watch that. I really do. I watched all the Marvel stuff up to WandaVision, and then
I was gonna say, didn't you watch every Marvel movie?
I did. I watched them all in timeline order, and then once I got to WandaVision, because here's what I do, and this is totally off topic, but that's what happens. I like to wait for stuff like that to totally finish so that I can binge the whole season rather than have to watch them week by week, and it wasn't quite finished at that point. So I was like, oh, well, I'll wait for it to finish and then I'll binge it. And then I haven't binged it yet.
Anyway. I would definitely recommend it. But yeah, I kind of think that all streaming services right now are a little bit overrated because I don't find a lot of them are putting out like genuinely original content. And some of the content that they put out because they're just trying to like make putty stick to a wall is like kind of crap.
Do they get a pass for COVID?
No, because they figured out how to do all that stuff.
But it might be a delay. It takes a long time to produce stuff like that. Like, my guess is that there is going to be a big influx of content in like 6 months or something, but
I don't know. I think that I have a Bookstagram, so of course I'm always going to choose books before I choose other types of like media to consume.
Do you want to plug your Bookstagram here?
I'll do it.
I like books a latte.
I take like 30% of the photos, so.
Kyle takes like a lot of the pictures, and he's a very good Instagram husband. I would say that.
Oh, you call him your Instagram husband.
It's much easier to call him my husband at this point than it is my fiance, and I think Kyle mm-hmm. has probably called me his wife as well. So, at this point, yep. It's like, let's just get it over with.
That's the spirit.
I don't know, but Robbie, I think you probably have a different. You love to stream.
Not necessarily. I'm mad that they lost The Office, and it's not their fault. But I loved the fact that, you know, a lot of the binge-worthy shows were all in one place for me, and now they're all spread out. And so mm-hmm. I might even go a little overrated, too. Like, I get it. And I like a lot of what Netflix... Like, I like the Drive to Survive original content. I like, you know, mm-hmm. some of, like, Stranger Things. Like, they've done a lot of really good stuff. I see what you're saying, Danny, that they're in a bit of a rut right now, it seems like, and I'm for whatever reason.
Queen's Gambit was good.
So yeah, the Queen's Gambit was good.
Queen's Gambit was good.
So it's like, but it's hard for me to say they're underrated just because of all that stuff. Like, I think that they're comparatively, if we were to compare them to Hulu and Disney Plus and Peacock and all those things, I still probably would overall put them at the top. But yeah, I think that what Netflix does better than all of those, maybe Disney is catching up to them though, but what Netflix does is that original content. And right now, for the moment, I'm going to say they're not producing it, like Danny said. I do expect there to be a lot more though, and I'll be back to being hooked on several things. The Great British Baking Show lives there. I'm kind of
with you. I think right now you go overrated, but if you think outlook for the future, I'm bullish on Netflix.
Yeah, agree.
All right. That was overrated, underrated. What's your three headlines and a lie?
Three headlines and a lie is where I give you four headlines, three of which are real and one of which is a lie, and you have to guess which one is the lie.
Jimmy lost his shacks.
Which I thought would be fun because we have a newsie on the podcast.
Jimmy lost his jacks.
That still gets me to this day.
Classic. That's the line that I need to work into a speech somehow. Is Jimmy lost his jacks. That was the best short quip, I think, of any video we've ever produced.
I don't know why that got me so good.
My favorite part is I said it with the edit in mind, and so I knew what it was going to be, but Robbie had no idea, so he just looked at me like, why did you just say Jimmy totally, lost his jacket?
Totally took me by surprise, and I was like, is there more? and it was perfect that there wasn't. And you're just like, nope, that was it. That's what I wanted to say.
Robbie's doing like three line things.
Yeah, that's an Easter egg. That's a deep cut. Go back to YouTube. Find our newsreel. So I like this, but I do feel like Danny inherently is going to know all of the real news stories.
I don't know. We'll see.
I think she has an advantage here.
So I need to give credit where credit is due. I ripped this straight off of a newsletter that I read in the morning called the Morning Brew Newsletter. So they curated this whole thing for me, so I didn't even have to go searching for any of the headlines.
The Morning wow. Brew. That's what I call my groups.
So yeah, subscribe to them if you want a good, fun little newsletter. But we'll start with I have two sets of them, but we're running on time, so maybe we'll just do one set.
Now, this can be long because I'm listening to it the whole drive to the coast, and I think that's what this is built for. It's for our audience to listen on the way to your wedding.
Okay.
Hour 45. Right. Let's do it.
So, I'm gonna say the four headlines. You guys have to tell me which one you think is the lie. Headline number one. The Leave Britney Alone video was sold as an NFT for over $40,000. Headline number two. France investigates secret restaurants for Paris elite. Headline number three. World's biggest rabbit stolen from owner's garden. Headline number four. Coinbase partners with Pitbull to create direct listing anthem for their IPO.
Is this a team sport or is this an individual game?
I think you guys each have to tell me which one you think.
Okay, I know the rabbit is true because I saw that one.
Wait, so we just have to tell you?
Which one you think is the fake one.
Okay, I think that the Pitbull one is fake.
Robbie?
Or the Britney one.
Yeah, so it was Britney, French restaurants, and Pitbull, and rabbit.
Yes.
Okay, you said Pitbull. I want to hedge my bets.
You know what? No. It's the Britney one. I would definitely know if that had been sold.
That's what I was thinking.
That would have been trending news. And the Pitbull one is just weird enough that it works for Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, I was going to pick the Britney one. Because people are talking about Britney all the time with her, you know, estate or whatever. I think that we would have heard about it.
Yeah, I do too.
You definitely would have heard about it.
I'm going with Britney. Leave Britney alone.
Yeah, agreed.
You overthought it there, Frack. It's Coinbase and Pitbull was
the lie.
Dang it! That's what I was going to say.
My first guess was right.
You talked me into it. All right, keep going. I like this game. I'm not going to give you any more hints about the rabbit thing.
All right.
I never was going to guess that one anyways.
Set number two. Headline one. Michigan Brewery celebrates National Beer Day with White Boy Summer IPA.
I can see that.
Headline number two. Australia. Geologist beaten up by angriest octopus on beach.
I could also see that.
Headline number three. A man found 15,000 bees in his car after grocery shopping. Headline number four. Washington man pleads guilty to $244 million ghost cattle scam.
$244 million?
What are the first two again? Could you repeat?
Michigan Brewery celebrates National Beer Day with White Boy Summer IPA. And Australia. Geologist beaten up by angriest octopus on beach.
I'm picking the octopus one.
Oh, you think that's fake? That seems very on brand for Australia.
The brand of angry octopus.
I know one of them is true because we had it in our show.
I want to say that the... I don't know. The last one. I think that one's fake.
The ghost cattle?
Yeah. That seems like too much money to be wrapped up in a ghost cattle thing.
You guys are both incorrect. It is the White Boy IPA was fake.
Oh, dang.
Which I'm happy about.
That's a great idea. I mean, it's a stupid idea, but it would sell. It really would.
We reported on the bee thing in our show, and I'm pretty sure that the cattle thing was actually a trending story on our website.
Probably. He defrauded Tyson Foods.
Yeah.
$244 million.
Well,
yep.
If anybody was going to pay $244 million, it would have to be a company like that, I guess. That's what tripped me up. I was like, who in the hell would pay that much money for cattle? But I guess I get it.
Ghost cattle.
That's what you get. Read the fine print.
So that was three headlines and a lie.
All right.
That was fun.
Good game. We got to bring that one back. You just got to do more of the work yourself rather than getting it from a newsletter. Which will be much more difficult.
It's so easy.
All right. When we come back from the break, we're going to wrap this sucker up and send these two lovebirds off on their wedding week. So don't go anywhere.
We're back.
Oh, very nice. A little spice. That went on for longer than I anticipated.
I know. You kind of started to bounce around in different genres of music.
Was it too long?
No, it was perfect.
It was wonderful.
I just wasn't expecting it to go that long.
Yeah, I think
sometimes I like to surprise.
It could have gone on and on. We've made, you know, the last two podcasts have ended in song, and honestly, that was good. I liked that. Kyle, what do we got?
We have the movie challenge from Alex. He wanted us to watch Cop Out, which is a 2014 film starring Bruce Willis and what's his name?
Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan. And Robbie, who is still in debt from 2 weeks ago on the movie challenge, has fallen further into debt by not watching anything except for Top Chef, evidently.
I will talk to you about Top Chef. Season 7.
I watched the first half of it last night and then was about to fall asleep and just went to bed instead. So that's kind of my review, is I wouldn't watch it if I were you, unless you're a real big Tracy Morgan fan or a real big Bruce Willis fan. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's got Tracy Morgan doing Tracy Morgan things, which is never really my cup of tea. But if you like that, then he says some funny things. He punches a kid in the stomach, and that was the only time that I laughed.
Yeah, that was the funniest part of the film. I also found it really unbelievable that he would be married to Rashida Jones, but we won't go into
that.
Yeah,
somehow Tracy Morgan pulled Rashida Jones, and that's wrong.
Never happened.
So yeah, I'm giving this a 1.5 pandas, maybe. My least enjoyable watching experience of this challenge thus far. And next week, you guys can look forward to Robbie's actual review of Precious, based on the novelization, or novel, whatever, the book pushed by Sapphire.
There's no way Robbie's going to watch that. He's busy all weekend.
I think that's what we're going to do the morning of the wedding. I'm going to sit there with Kyle, and we're going to watch Precious based on the novel pushed by Sapphire. That will get us all where we need to be. We're going to turn it into a drinking game, and we're going to have claws, and it'll be great. You think there's a drinking game for Precious? They got drinking
games. It's a novelization of the movie Precious
based on the novel
Push by Sapphire. Okay, God, that took me so long.
Here's the thing:
it took me so long. The first time I said it to Kyle, it was right, and then after that, I could not say it correctly.
Yeah, because it said, "Can we listen to this?" It's an audiobook of Precious, which is a novelization
of
the novel,
Precious. The movie.
Precious, yeah.
It's a novelization of the movie Precious based on the book Pushed by Sapphire.
Pushed by Sapphire, yeah.
That's exactly right. And that's a beautifully written line. Talking about here.
Do you have anything you want to say about your Top Chef viewing? Or
Season 7 came down to the wire. I thought Angelo was going to take it, especially when the finale's in Singapore and he cooks Asian-inspired dishes. But you got to give it to Kevin. He really came through strong with a great fish course. I think that might have been where he separated himself. Now watching season 8, where Angelo gets a shot at redemption.
Oh.
It's the all-star season. So like everybody who made the finales of season 1 through 7 gets another chance to win.
It's like the Super League of Top Chef.
It's Super League, but all the people who finish 2nd and 3rd, none of the actual champions are there. It's all the like the runner-ups facing off against each other.
Top Chef.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday. I'm gonna name 3 people here, and I want you guys to try and rank them by age.
Super League. Oh, never mind.
Okay.
So we have Candace Parker, Maria Sharapova, and Hayden Christensen.
Who's Candace Parker?
Basketball
player. WNBA player.
Oh.
Sharapova's
Sharapova's
tricky because she's been a name for so long, but that's because she was a name when she was like 16 or something. So I bet you Sharapova's only in her 30s.
I think she's only, she's like 35.
I bet Hayden Christensen's the oldest out of that group.
He's like in his 40s, I think.
Candace Parker, I would say she's probably pretty close to Sharapova, but I would actually say Sharapova's the youngest.
I would say Sharapova, Parker, Christensen.
You guys did very well. Maria Sharapova turning 34 today, Candace Parker 35 today, and Hayden Christensen 40. Which is weird to me to think of Hayden Christensen as 40, but...
Couldn't have done better.
Young Anakin.
Couldn't have done better than that. All right. Is there a tweet?
There is a tweet of the week from Jaden Smith on April 10th of the year 2021. He said, Ready Player One is one of the best movie of all time, and now everyone can see its influence.
Bold.
What?
Quite bold there. And that's coming from a guy who thought Ready Player One had some decent entertainment value. It was not a great all-time movie, but I found it interesting. Actually, I just binge-read Ready Player Two.
I was going to ask you about that.
I had that audiobook for a while and haven't actually listened to it.
I enjoyed it.
Did you get on Libro FM?
I did.
Nice.
It's a good read. I mean, it grabs you right away. I mean, you're in it. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I hope that they make a movie of that one. All right. Well, soon to be newlyweds, thank you for joining us today, Danielle. Before it is, as is tradition, and once again, we have no idea what you're going to say, and that really set us up for an strange moment last time. But at the end of the podcast, it's your platform to share whatever you would like to share. What do you have for us?
I will say that this is truly a full circle moment and that I am absolutely thrilled and excited to be holding the tiny little baby that I see in your video right now in just a short little while.
I imagine when we show up at the rehearsal on Friday, he will be swept away rather quickly.
And I think Mom will be thrilled.
I think so too. I think that he's going to get passed around pretty good this weekend because we've got lots of COVID vaccines in the group now. And he will enjoy it. We will enjoy it. It'll be a great weekend. I can't wait to recap it next week and tell people how it all goes down. I can't wait to get Kyle's unfiltered reactions to how everything goes down and his perspective. And Frack, we got to have you on the podcast more often. You always bring the funny and you bring the soul and you put it together and it's an explosion of just good listening.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Thank you for that compliment.
That's the nicest thing I've ever said to a guest on this podcast. Kyle can tell you.
I don't know. You're pretty complimentary about Jess.
That's true. I love that man. If I was on a gay season of The Bachelor, Jess would be in the finale for sure. Absolutely. All right, people. Have a good week. Go out, be kind to each other. Danny, what do we say?
Never fear the bacon.